In order to appreciate and understand better the gospel today, we need to know a little bit about that very spot that the Lord Jesus has taken his disciples to. It took 30 miles walk away from the normal routine to go to this spot in Caesarea Philippi. There was a spot there that is an oasis in the middle of nowhere, and it was very lush. There are great plants, animals, and there was a very, very deep spring. The ancient people of Canaan lived there thousands of years before. They believed that this must be the spot where heaven touches earth. And so they made a shrine to their god, Baal, the god of war and a god of fertility. When the Greeks conquered the land, they also went there to take a look. And the Greeks agreed that there is something unique about this place. And so they too built a shrine to their most powerful god, Zeus. And very soon the Romans took over, and the Romans went there, and they too agreed that there is something unique about this topology. The gods must be here. And so they also built their own shrine to their favorite god, half man, half goat, Pan. When Caesar gave this part of land to Herod's brother Philip, he too went there and built a shrine to Caesar, declaring, because you know the Caesars claim that they are gods. So Philip built a shrine for Caesar there. So this is the spot, okay? It's a very unique spot where everyone in that region and in the history of that region believe that this is where heaven touches earth. And so the Lord Jesus walked with his disciples 30 miles to this place. And as they stood in front of these remnants of these shrines, the Lord Jesus asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" So when we know the setting, then we know what the Lord Jesus is looking at. We know that what the disciples were looking at. So it turned out that the Lord Jesus was not taking a poll like politicians do and say, "What do people say about me, you know, so that I can kind of adjust to the likings of the people so I can get their votes?" That's not what he was doing at all. When he asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" he was not asking for their opinion of who he was. He was looking for the truth, the right answer. And Simon gave the right answer when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus affirmed this right answer because before, you know, people think that you are Elijah, you are John the Baptist, you are the prophet. Wrong, wrong, wrong. When Simon said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," then the Lord Jesus said, "You don't know this. You only know this because my heavenly Father reveals it to you, because it is the one truth. I'm going to make you the foundation of my church. You are Peter, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." See, the Lord Jesus basically said, "You got the right answer, the right one answer that I am looking for." And today, my brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus is asking each and every one of us the same question. Not for our opinion. Who do you say that I am? But before you answer that question correctly, I want to point out something peculiar. Because after it is discovered, the disciples discovered who Jesus is, he confirmed it. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the only Son of the living God. Shouldn't Jesus have said to them, "Now go out and tell everyone. Go out and tell everyone who I am, the Christ, the Son of the living God." But that didn't happen. It was the opposite. The peculiar thing is that the Lord said to the disciples, "Tell no one that I am the Christ." Why is that? Because until that moment, the Christ that everyone knew was the Christ that opened the eyes of the blind. They knew that the Christ was the one who made the deaf hear and the dumb speak. They knew that the Christ was the one who could heal the cripple and make him walk. He knew of the Christ that could make the miracle to feed thousands of people with just a few bread and a few fish. They knew the Christ that was the miracle performers. They knew this Christ. But the Lord Jesus said, "Tell no one that I am the Christ." Because at that moment, they did not know yet the Christ who will be betrayed by a friend. They did not know yet the Christ that will spat at, that will be spat at and made fun of and ridiculed. They did not yet know the Christ that will be beaten so badly that his face will no longer be recognizable. At that moment, people and the disciples did not yet know the Christ who would be nailed to the cross after he had to carry the cross up to Calvary. They did not yet know that Christ. It is said that the devil, because the devil is a fallen archangel, the devil can disguise as Jesus. And it is said that the one way you can tell, distinguish whether the vision is real, that it is truly Jesus, or it is the devil pretending to be Jesus, is to look for the holes in his hands. Because you see, the devil became devil, one of the reasons, that he became devil because he could not accept this reality. Before there was time, before there was space, before God created the universe, he created the angels to serve him. And he also revealed to the angels his eternal plan. And one of the plans, of course, is to create human beings in the image and likeness of God. And that God, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, will come down from heaven and become a man. And he will suffer and die. And the devil, as an archangel at that time, said, "Oh no, God cannot do that. That is below God. That is unbecoming of God. Why would God do that? You are the Almighty. Why would you lower yourself so low? I can't accept that." That's the story of how the devil became devil. And so for eternity, the devil cannot stand to look at the crucifix. That's why you see in these movies of exorcism, you know, the priest will point the crucifix at the possessor. They go, you know. It's not because the crucifix in itself somehow has some kind of power. It is because the devil hates that scene. He cannot stand to look at a God, the Almighty, who would lower himself so low. And so, my brothers and sisters, now we get back to the question that the Lord Jesus is asking you and me, his disciples today. Who do you say that I am? He's not asking for your opinion. He's not asking for what you think. He's asking for you to proclaim the one true answer that the Lord Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has come down from heaven. Remember, the devil hates this. Who has come down from heaven, who has suffered and died, not for the world out there, but for me. For me. And that's the right answer that the Lord Jesus is looking for. Unfortunately, many people today prefer the vision of the Christ given to them by the devil. And that is the Christ supposed to have no wounds, the Christ supposed to have no suffering, the Christ supposed to never have died, the Christ supposed to just do miracles, feed the hungry, heal the sick, make our lives better, and make this world a better place. And those who buy into this vision of the devil, of the Christ, are the same people who live their lives and say, I am so disappointed at God. I am so angry at God. I don't want to pray anymore. I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to believe in God anymore. Because my vision of the Christ is the one who just makes my life better here. That's the devil's vision of the Christ. The true Christ, my brothers and sisters, is the one who suffered, who died, so as to show us, his disciples, how to suffer and how to die. That's the reality of humanity, of life on this earth. We suffer and die. The Lord Jesus comes, God, come to suffer and die so he can show us how to suffer with nobility, that he show us how to die like children of God. And when we do so, as we proclaim the Christ, the Son of the living God, we may share with him eternal life. And so, my brothers and sisters, as you come to Mass today, bring to this altar, put it down there at the foot of that altar, all of your disappointments, all of your upsets with God, all of your doubts about God, all of the things that you may have mistaken because the devil has tricked you about God. Bring all the sufferings that you have in your life, all the challenges that you have in your life, bring it here, lay it at this altar, and let us proclaim together as disciples of Jesus today. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has come to suffer and die for me and give me the hope of eternal life.